From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Oh, thank you. We got a great show for you today. Frank Rich, the columnist for the New York Times. He'll be here joining us later to play Not My Job. But first, I have to confess to you, we almost didn't have a show for you this week. Carl disappeared. Right after last week's show, we couldn't find him for days. Carl, where were you?
I was hiking on the Appalachian Trail.
Really? Because we found your boots and your walking stick and your cool little Swiss hiking hat all at home.
All right. Did I say hiking? I went to the jungle, the deserty jungle.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. So let's get going. The number to call, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Fred from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Fred. How are things in Atlanta?
Steamy.
Steamy. But things are exciting near the airport, so we're told. People coming and going quite mysteriously. Yeah, it's an exciting time to be there. Fred, let me introduce you to our panel. First up, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time for Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Next, say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column is Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne.
Hello.
And it's the author and humorist who will host the Queen City Radio Hour on July 2nd at the Flynn Theater in Burlington, Vermont, Mr. Tom Baudet.
Hi, Fred.
Fred, welcome to our show. Now, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle, right here, is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. For your first quote, here's someone explaining why he decided to step out of the office for a spell.
I wanted to do something exotic.
That was somebody giving his first and maybe ultimately his best explanation for how he happened to vanish for 5 days. Who was it?
South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford.
That would be the guy. Henceforth, let it be known that I'm hiking the Appalachian Trail will be a euphemism to mean... I've ditched my security detail, not even told my wife and four kids where I'm going, and instead flew to Buenos Aires to canoodle with a Latina temptress.
Governor, the Argentinian trail, as
the
it were.
Yeah, as it were. Governor Sanford of South Carolina joins the growing army of social conservatives who decided to get a jump on destroying their own marriage before same-sex couples could do it to them. Disappearing for 5 days, during which his staff assured the press that he had gone for a hike on, as it turns out, and this is true, National Nude Hiking Day. Came back, Sanford gave a teary press conference in which he apologized to his family, his friends, the people of South Carolina, and all the nude hikers who were disappointed he never showed up.
Was this the best confessional speech ever?
Well, it's the best thing that could ever happen to John Ensign, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Ensign sent him the ticket to Buenos Aires.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is true, as you mentioned, John Ensign, most recently, there have been a lot of Republicans who have confessed various infidelities, David Vitter, and most Republicans have gathered around them, have protected them, but not this guy, not him. And I think it's because this difference with Governor Sanford is that Sanford had the temerity to turn to foreign labor.
Yeah.
I mean...
Outsourcing your mistress?
What do you mean this is a job an American won't do? Come on!
NAFTA.
My brother-in-law did that last summer, by the way.
Really?
He hiked the Appalachian Trail, did he?
Yeah. He was gone for months. I mean, months.
You know, I'll never, ever be able to hear that phrase again, ever. I'll never be able to take it seriously.
Wow. You know, I don't want to get married yet. I want to, you know, hike the Appalachian Trail for a while first. Yeah, he had a midlife crisis. He went out and hiked the Appalachian Trail.
Stepped out to hike the Appalachian Trail, never came back.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you could hike the Appalachian Trail in the backseat of your car.
Yeah.
You know, probably as we speak, there are hundreds of people slogging their way across the Appalachian Trail.
Right.
And they're never going to be able to brag about it.
No, from now on.
An accomplishment of a lifetime.
And they can't talk about it.
Up in smoke.
And to have the dignity of that activity taken away on Naked Hiking Day.
I know. Yeah. Fred, are you still there, or have you given up on us?
Absolutely.
All right, Fred. Here is your next quote.
Participation by Iranian diplomats would not be appropriate in light of the unjust actions that the president and I have condemned.
That's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sternly uninviting Iranian diplomats from what events next week?
The G8 conference?
No. This was going to be a special thing. It was a celebration next week, and Iranian diplomats were going to be invited.
Oh, the independence thing.
Exactly. The July 4th barbecues at American embassies. The Obama administration had wanted to reach out to the Iranian regime, so they invited diplomats in foreign capitals to come to the local American embassy's 4th of July picnics, because nothing melts the hearts of repressive regimes more than grilled tubes of animal scraps, gallons of tasteless beer, and Toby Keith music. But then, after the recent unrest, the State Department rescinded the invite, all the better, really, because who can forget the last time the Iranians came to a U.S. embassy picnic. First they sang Death to America the Beautiful. And then there was an uncomfortable moment when the ambassador handed out some miniature American flags to wave, and the Iranians immediately set fire to them. And once they were caught red-handed making their own fireworks, which they had promised to only develop for energy purposes.
We let them develop sparklers.
We did. We encouraged them to. It's going to destabilize the region.
They ship them.
They do. All right, Fred, here is your last quote. It's actually a series of quotes about a big blockbuster movie out this weekend. First, from The Washington Post.
Simply despicable.
From Gawker.com.
Loud, obnoxious, and loud.
And Chicago's own Roger Ebert.
One of the three or four amusing moments involves a dog-like robot humping the leg of the heroine.
So what big summer sequel has the critics up in arms?
Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh, you even knew the subtitle. Very good. Fans of the Transformer line of toys from the 80s were worried, of course, that director Michael Bay, who is to movie making what Hurricane Katrina was to urban planning, wouldn't truly capture the subtleties in the relationship between the good Autobots and the evil Decepticons. What of Optimus Prime's conflicted feelings for Starscream? But not to worry, everything blows up quite well in the movie. As for the film, it's probably going to do fine. It's hard to imagine anybody saying, you know, I was interested in seeing a movie about cars that transform into robots and back into cars, but Manola Dargis in the New York Times didn't recommend it. So I think I'll go to the Godard retrospective instead. Carl, how did Fred do in our quiz?
Well, Fred wins our prize, Peter. That's because he had 3 correct answers.
Well done, Fred. Congratulations. Thanks so much for playing. Bye-bye.
Thank you.